You're listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, broadcasting from Raleigh, North Carolina, serving the blind and print-impaired community since 1983. This is Nancy Jones. For the next hour, I will be reading to you from the May 2022 issue of Vanity Fair magazine, which features an Andy Warhol portrait of Queen Elizabeth in her younger days. This is Vanity Fair Part B. Now here's the editor's letter from Radhika Jones, editor-in-chief. In the photos, Queen Elizabeth II gets the Vanity Fair cover treatment, times three, courtesy of Andy Warhol. Listen to our new Royals podcast, hosted by Katie Nichol and Aaron Vanderhoof at vf.com/dynasty. This year marks 70 years since Queen Elizabeth ascended to the throne, her Platinum Jubilee. She has served in her official role alongside 14 British prime ministers, from Winston Churchill to Boris Johnson, and her reign spans 14 U.S. presidents and counting. Her image circulates as currency, actual currency, and the Andy Warhol variety, and the length of her tenure is now an indelible part of her legacy. Who in this day and age holds the same job for seven decades? That said, her dominion has indisputably contracted since 1952. Just last year, Barbados threw off its affiliation with the crown, and in March, a royal visit from the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge to Jamaica drew calls for reparations alongside a reaffirmation of the island's 60 years of independence. Monarchist sentiment, or sentimentality, in England is sufficiently strong that Elizabeth II won't be the last Windsor to sit on the throne. But with Charles in the wings and a grandson and great-grandson in line, she will be Great Britain's last sovereign queen for a good long while, and given the shrinking royal footprint, possibly forever. These themes emerge in our pages this month and will also shape our new podcast series called Dynasty, a delightful audio expression of our obsession with powerful families. The first season takes on the House of Windsor and is co-hosted by contributing editor Katie Nichol and staff writer Aaron Vanderhoof, who also wrote stories for our cover package on the Platinum Jubilee and all it signifies. Subsequent seasons will tackle other notable and notorious clans and the ways they shape our world. In this issue, we reinterpret the idea of family, both literally, see James Reginato's chronicle of the fortunes and misfortunes of J. Paul Getty's great-grandchildren, and loosely as a way of thinking about the ties that bind. Tressie McMillan Cottam paints a vivid group portrait of a new vanguard of country singers in Nashville, for example, and James Pogue forays into the heart of darkness, Orlando, with a rising group of culturally savvy conservative thinkers whose ideological intentions trace to Peter Thiel. And Michael Idov, one of Hollywood's few bilingual English-Russian screenwriters, writes eloquently of giving up writing in Russian in the face of Putin's invasion of Ukraine. "I don't know how to speak to a country that's busy destroying its neighbor and itself," he says, "so I won't." Here are some of the issue's contributors. Tressie McMillan Cottom, Modern Folklore. These women are making some of the most moving music out right now, says the sociologist and cultural critic on her time with country music's Black Vanguard. They also, McMillan Cottom says, know how to have a good time. What happens in Nash Vegas stays in Nash Vegas. James Reginato, All in the Family. The Gettys are one of the most fascinating and unconventional dynasties of our time, says the Vanity Fair writer at large. In his upcoming book, Growing Up Getty, published by Gallery Books, Reginato tells the story of J. Paul Getty and his heirs, including his surprisingly close-knit great-grandchildren, debunking the myths that have grown around the family. James Pogue, Free Radicals. The author of Chosen Country, A Rebellion in the West, has written about rural politics for years. But entering into this intra-elite war of ideas was a wild experience, where people use complex intellectual analysis to explain why many conservatives now feel so deeply alienated by mainstream politics and media. Tina Brown, Diana's Last Dance. Vanity Fair's former editor-in-chief, author of the best-selling The Diana Chronicles and its forthcoming incendiary follow-up, The Palace Papers, published by Crown, wanted to question the framing of Diana as a mere vulnerable victim and show how her sons have not yet confronted the unsettling complexity of her legacy. Richard Moss, Green Gold. Flying at dawn in the helicopter bound for Disco Island was one of the more sublime experiences I've ever had, says the documentary photographer, who currently has a retrospective survey exhibition on show at Kunsthalle Bremen in Germany. It was one of the most beautiful journeys I've ever taken. Willem Marx, Green Gold. We wanted to tell the story of this unfathomably vast global energy transition, says the London-based journalist. Marx has followed the Congolese mining sector for nearly 15 years, but discovering the truth about cobalt required unearthing memories many witnesses had chosen to leave behind. Now this from Brett Hinemuth, Winner's Circle. Quincy Isaiah's magic moment happened slowly, then all at once. Winning Time, The Rise of the Lakers Dynasty, a love letter to the team's 1980s Showtime era, stars heavyweights like John C. Reilly, Adrian Brody, and Gabby Hoffman, but needed an actor with epic charisma to embody co-lead Irvin Magic Johnson. That part went to Quincy Isaiah, a Michigander like Johnson, and the youngest of seven in a Brady Bunch-esque blended family. Instead of getting Alice, they got me, he laughs. Here, he reflects on turning his first professional role into a career layup. Hoop dreams. I played basketball all my life, all summer long. I would go to football practice, come home, and then play basketball for the rest of the day. Then video games. It was lovely. Take me back. A production of A Raisin in the Sun at Kalamazoo College gave him the confidence to audition for the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. A professor encouraged Isaiah, "You have real talent. You could be a leading man." That was all I needed to hear. After a callback and some advice from his agent, "Get better at basketball," Isaiah was asked to show off his court skills with series consultant Rick Fox. An hour later, producer Adam McKay called and gave him the part. I had to hit mute and just start screaming. I called my mom, and she did the same, her Pomeranian running in circles around her. My life changed, you know. Between long days filming and frequent basketball practice, Winning Time was a crash course. Reilly still gives it the same on the 14th hour as the first, and it's a trickle-down effect. No ego on this set. He hasn't met Johnson yet, but he hopes their paths cross soon. To be able to do what he did during that time period with that diagnosis, it's legendary. Looking forward, he dreams of sharing sets with Ryan Coogler and Quentin Tarantino, and wants to play Mansa Musa, the richest man to ever live. Will Winning Time get a second season? We're hoping for it, Isaiah says. We've only covered the first year of Magic's career, so it can keep going. Home cooking. In these new recipe books, three famous foodies return to their roots. Amu, Indian home cooking, to nourish your soul. Named after a term for mother, Asma Khan's book pairs lush recipes, sag badam, chicken pakoras, chutney, with memories of monsoons in Kolkata, family celebrations, and homesick cooking in England, published by Interlink. My America, recipes from a young black chef. Shrimp etouffee, dirty rice, garlic aioli, braiding culinary influences from a childhood in the Bronx, Nigeria, and Baton Rouge, along with his classical French training at the Culinary Institute of America, Chef Kwame Onwuachi presents a delectable lineup, published by Knopf. Zabar's, a family story with recipes. Lori Zabar's grandparents, Louis and Lily Zabar, fled an area of Tsarist Russia, now Ukraine, and established a deli on New York City's Upper West Side. Each of the family history's 10 chapters closes with a recipe. Gefilte fish, blintzes with blueberries, the store's beloved Nova cream cheese spread, published by Schocken. Thank you. Blue Crush by Daisy Shaw Ellis. In the photograph by Ina Jang, Tiffany & Company Schlumberger Fleurage Bracelet. A number of settings have housed the world-renowned Tiffany diamond, of Audrey Hepburn, Lady Gaga, and Beyoncé fame, but these flowers and petite leaves, wrought in diamond and yellow gold, were one of its earliest imagined iterations. The Fleurage bracelet, which Jean Schlumberger sketched in 1958 but never fully realized, has come to life with a gleaming 48-carat aquamarine at its center in a size and cut similar to that famous pale yellow friend. Nothing but blue skies ahead for this gemstone garden. What's trending? Purple rain. Take a dip in these violet delights. From lilac cat-eye shades to indigo kitten-heel sandals to ruffles that evoke rolling floral hills. In the photo, party like its Prince and the Revolution, 1984-85 Purple Rain Tour. Hue tube, Swarovski necklace, Lanvin jacket, Baume & Fiergarten skirt, Kuberum sunglasses, Roger Vivier mules, Regime de Fleur, Himitsu Eau de Parfum, Kenneth Nicholson dress, Flamingo tweezers, Fendi men's bag, Glossier lavenderbalm.com, available in May, C&D Vinylux nail polish in Artisan Bazaar, Louis Vuitton men's pants, Color sweater, Givenchy cross bra, Tatcha the silk sunscreen, SPF 50, all using shades of purple. My Stuff, Brightside, from her pink furniture to floral frocks, DVF co-chairwoman Talita von Furstenberg creates candy-hued worlds. Style file, daily uniform, nothing makes me feel more confident and powerful than wearing DVF. Workout wear, Splits 59 leggings are the softest and most flattering. To sleep, a comfy and colorful sweater from the Elder Statesman. On beauty, makeup essentials, Chanel Le Correcteur Concealer, Ilia Mascara, Charlotte Tilbury Highlighter Wand, Makeup by Mario Cream Blush Stick and Anastasia Beverly Hills Contour Kit for cheeks and eyes. Skincare, Biologique Recherche, Hair Care, Olaplex Shampoo and Conditioner. Brush, I have been using Mason Pearson hairbrushes since I was a baby. They are simply the best. Styling, the Dyson hair wrap has changed my life. The menu, sweet treat, frozen yogurt, or really any dessert. I have the biggest sweet tooth. Cocktail hour, low tequila, passion fruit margarita. At home, dishware, Murano glassware, Laguna Bee glasses make the cutest gift. Vintage treasure, a bronze globe that secretly opens and holds cigarettes. I don't smoke, but I love finding fun pieces on first dibs. Recent addition, my pink India Madhavi Bishop side table, Sphinx tin pillows for accent prints, and my AVF home yellow circle mirror. Aroma, giant diptyque candles are great. Flowers on the table, I love fresh flowers so much, but I have a fake bouquet from a floral and always get compliments on them rather than my real ones, and they last forever. For pleasure, watching The Great, reading Apples Never Fall by Leanne Moriarty, inspired by nature. Then more from The Vanities, Beautiful Dark Twisted Galaxy by Kaya D. Goosby, The Wide World of Kanye. They say people in your life are seasons, and anything that happens is for a reason. So quoth ye. Nay, Kanye Omari West, whose tangled web of pals, foes, lovers, and influences is an all-weather wonder. And honestly, this chart of family, friends, the dated, the dated, the married, the partnered, the separated, divorced, feuded, inspired by, collaborated, and photo apped is simply too detailed and complicated and convoluted to read here. But Elizabeth Taylor, Conrad Hilton Jr., Huey P. Newton, Donda West, Nicole Richie, Paris Hilton, Lionel Richie, Scott Disick, Courtney Kardashian, Sophia Richie, Travis Barker, Khloe Kardashian, Jordan Woods, Lamar Odom, Robert Kardashian, Rob Kardashian, Tristan Thompson, Caitlyn Jenner, Will Smith, Kylie Jenner, Blac Chyna, Jada Pinkett Smith, Tyga, Travis Scott, Johnny Cochran, Kendall Jenner, O.J. Simpson, Donald Trump, Mac Miller, Ariana Grande, Pete Davidson, Snoop Dogg, Kris Jenner, Kim Kardashian, Julia Fox, Ray West, Anna Sorokin, Adam Sandler, Andy Warhol, Marsha Duchamp, Mariah Carey, Michaela Angela Davis, Tommy Mottola, Miuccia Prada, Evan Ross, Rem Koolhaas, Tracy Ellis Ross, Virgil Abloh, Arnie Ness Jr., A$AP Rocky, Drake, Bob Ellis, Rihanna, Beyonce, Dame Dash, Jay-Z, Aaliyah, Gladys Knight, Tina Knowles Lawson, Richard Lawson, Denise Gordy, Barry Gordy, Marvin Gaye, Diana Ross, Rhonda Ross, Mary Wilson, The Queen Mother, Ashley Simpson, Evan Ross, Jessica Simpson, Nick Lachey, Madonna, Anita Hill, and Britney Spears all make the very complex chart of Kanye West. Keziah Weir writes on books, Coast Along, and post-war Cape Cod and 1960s L.A., art, love, and politics collide. Take a trip to the beaches of Wellfleet on the spiraling hook of Cape Cod, Massachusetts. The year is 1910, and an enclave of artists and writers is forming. John Taylor Williams's The Shores of Bohemia, a Cape Cod story, 1910 to 1960, from FSG, traces the flawed, rowdy, careless Bohemians who left Manhattan's Greenwich Village for the cheaper coastal towns up east, or bounced between the two. From Charles Webster Hawthorne's Provincetown Art Association to socialist leanings turned communist sympathies to Bauhaus houses spread with Annie Elber's rugs, to the 1950s softball games staffed by Edwin O'Connor, Norman Mailer, and Edmund Wilson, who batted but refused to run. Williams captures half a century of creative thought lashed with salty sea air. Pick up the temporal thread across the country with Vanity Fair contributor Mark Rotzo's Everybody Thought We Were Crazy, Dennis Hopper, Brooke Hayward, and 1960s Los Angeles, out from Echo. The book, which began as a 2018 article for this magazine, serves as a portrait not only of a marriage, but of a critical American artistic awakening during the years that Hayward once called the most wonderful and awful of my life. Rotzo paints a neon picture of the pair's milieu, their 1963 West Coast coming-out house party for Andy Warhol, replete with circus posters and a chili dog stand, and Hayward's later screen test with the artist, Hopper photographing the Selma March, substance abuse battles, the couple's friendships with Ed Ruscha and Jane Fonda, a life and time in Technicolor. Six-pack, High Raunch, Afrofuturism, and More New Fiction. The Memory Librarian, with contributors who include Eve L. Ewing and Danny Lohr, Janelle Monáe explores abuse of power, love, and race through five futuristic stories. Published by Harper Voyager. The Immortal King Rao, in Vina Vera's debut, Athena's father, a tech mogul, Nonpareil, has died, and she is accused of conspiring to kill him. But she's also armed with his memories and sour truths about his company board, published by W.W. Norton. Liar Mouth, this feel-bad romance about the escapades of a vainglorious, self-proclaimed tease of a scammer named Marcia, is peak John Waters camp, published by FSG. We Do What We Do in the Dark, Michelle Hart's first novel, follows lonely college freshman Mallory through her relationship with a professor. The woman reunites with her absentee husband, but reemerges 7 years later. Published by Riverhead. Here Goes Nothing, Steve Tulse's newest finds, a droll Angus Mooney watching from the afterlife. He works in a factory as his murderer seduces his pregnant wife. Published by Melville House. One Day I Shall Astonish the World. Susan and Norma meet while working at a haberdashery. They disagree about literature, but they're pals anyway. Nina Stibbe's novel puts fresh eyes on a lifetime of friendship. Published by Scribner. And the illustration for the book, The Shores of Bohemia, which shows all kinds of people on the beach with cottages, a town in the background, and then a city and palm trees, is by Damien Kuypers. Unscripted, three actors pen evocative, intimate personal histories. Viola Davis, having grown up a spunky, sassy mess, in Finding Me, a memoir from Harper One, the Triple Crown-winning actor describes racism, poverty, her mother's love, and a life guided by her constant question, what did I learn from this? Her first trip to Africa is a highlight. In the Gambia, she feels a sense of home. Simu Liu, in We Were Dreamers, an immigrant superhero origin story from William Morrow, the Marvel actor describes his complex and at times abusive parents. Immigrating from China to Canada, xenophobia, teen rebellions, escape through acting, and weaves humor, raw detail, and empathy throughout. Selma Blair, named simply Baby Girl Beitner at birth in Mean Baby, a memoir of growing up from Knopf. Blair describes her path from moody infant to activist. Along the way, tarot readings, fighting alcoholism, an MS diagnosis, a custody battle, love and heartbreak, auditions and triumphs, on screen and off. Coming up, roses. Can perfumery's archetypal flower outstep its grandmotherly reputation? A new crop of scents shakes things up. By Laura Regensdorf. Pictured here, Dies in Durga Saltmarsh Rose Candle. Chanel Puri Puri Fragrance. Boy Smells Rosalita Candle. Henry Rose Sheep's Clothing Fragrance. Dries Van Noten Raving Rose Fragrance, Home Court Steeped Rose Surface Cleaner, Tom Ford Rose d'Amalfi Fragrance. When Gertrude Stein tucked that waltzing line, Rose is a rose is a rose is a rose, into a 1913 poem. She knew she had landed on something universal. She recycled the phrase again and again, tapping into the flower's sense of beauty, ubiquity, and foreverness. Civilization begins with a rose, she later wrote, establishing it as a matriarch of sorts. Ditto the genesis of fragrance. But for all the ancient trivia, Romans scented dove's wings with rose water like animated Febreze. Cleopatra used rose petals to lure Mark Antony in a proto-honeymoon sweet gesture. The prevailing association is not millennia old, but two generations. The rose belongs to Grandma. Courtney Cox brings this up in a Zoom conversation about Home Court, her line of home care products that showcases the work of master perfumers. Steeped rose is one of four scents delivered via room mist, dish soap, and counter spray. Like her friend's character, Monica, Cox is a fingerprint freak. Neither powdery nor sweet, it doesn't register as what you would imagine a grandmother's house to smell like, she says, praising the fragrance's dimensionality. It's the stem, it's the leaves, it's the petals, everything that you think real roses smell like. Whence comes this musty reputation? One thinks of potpourri and cut crystal bowls and soaps shaped into rosettes, too pretty to use. A 1935 photograph of a future Elizabeth II wearing a frilly dress and ankle socks with a rose bouquet captures the vintage pomp. Harold McGee, the wizard behind Nosedive, a field guide to the world's smells, notes, damascenine, a molecule found in the prized damask rose, is one of the dominant aromas in cooked apples. A cross-wiring, maybe, between grandma's perfume and pie. But David Moltz, the Brooklyn-based nose of D.S. and Durga, shrugs off the anti-granny stance as a kind of posturing, a learned distaste. His salt marsh rose candle, pretty symphonic, Moltz says of its swampy, mossy notes, is an example of what he means when arguing for a modern restraint usage of classic, beautiful perfume materials. To throw the baby out with the bathwater makes no sense. Judging by the proliferation of next-gen roses, it's a growing opinion. Boy Smells' Rosalita candle draws on saffron and cedar for an earthy riff. Raving Rose from Dries Van Noten's debut fragrance range goes rogue with a double dash of pepper, black and pink. A rose scent that would give you a metaphorical kick in the face, says the designer of his original brief to perfumers. Tom Ford looked to his Los Angeles rose garden, planted in a color gradient, with his least favorite, red, at the back, for a trio of scents, including Rose d'Amalfi with its marzipan-like note of heliotrope. Meanwhile, perfumer Olivier Poge teased out the fresh, citrusy, slightly metallic qualities of Rosa de Messina for Paris Paris, this month's latest entry in Le de Chanel. Polge doesn't have any hang-ups with Rose. Since his father worked as Chanel's nose for 37 years, the grandmothers in Polge's family simply wore the fashion house's perfumes. For actor Michelle Pfeiffer, who runs the clean fragrance brand Henry Rose, her dad's Old Spice is an olfactive muse. But the new sheep's clothing is a musky departure, with a dusting of pink peppercorn on top of the naive rose. If it should trigger a whiff of nostalgia, all the better, says Sable Young, co-host of the perfume podcast Smell You Later. Our digital age is moving so quickly, a proverbial slowdown is in order. Thank you. from the vanities, culture clash, language barrier, a bilingual screenwriter tried to build a bridge between Russia and the West. Vladimir Putin burned it down, by Michael Edov. There are two or three screenwriters in Hollywood who can switch between English and Russian at will, and I am one of them. This is not a self-aggrandizing statement. No evidence suggests I'm a genius in either. Still, I have been writing in both for 30 years, and these are the hardest words I have ever had to write, because they feel like lopping off half of my brain in public. As long as Vladimir Putin remains in power, I will not write in Russian anymore. In doing this, I am neither assigning collective responsibility nor weaseling out of it. People and their government are different things, even in a democracy, to say nothing of a dictatorship. This article will be continued in the next installment. This program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. I'm Nancy Jones, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service and broadcasting from its studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. Vanity Fair Part A airs via special subchannel receiver on Saturday and Sunday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern Daylight Saving Time, streaming via the World Wide Web at those times. Vanity Fair Part B airs via subchannel special subchannel receiver on Monday and Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock Eastern Daylight Saving Time, streaming via the World Wide Web at those times. Both Parts A and B are available as a podcast. Opening and closing music by Calexico. Interval selections by Mark Hoffman.